Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone of WCBI Sports. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad all by himself today on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining me here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville. Or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. If you're not in Starkville, you're not in Tupelo, it's not a problem. Just head over to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com, order it, shipped right to your door. You can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning with a quick trip to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that... No, wait, he's not here. Beef, it's what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. The weekend after Father's Day. If I say as a dad, that's the time to reclaim the grill, all right? We let everybody else take care of us last weekend. Now we're back in business on a June Saturday or Sunday. So put some beef on the grill. Grill up some steaks for the family. Everybody will be a happy camper. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com. That's the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. Everything maroon and white, everything Mississippi State, right there at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, followed by the Half Shell. Or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Whatever you're looking for, Mississippi State, they've got it for you at College Corner. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. Well, talk to the experts at Priority One Bank, bankers that know you by name, not just by your account number. Bankers are going to treat you with respect. Bankers, they can give you a level of service you can only get at Priority One Bank. If you live in central Mississippi, you live near a Priority One Bank location. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. A little later in the show, Brooks Bryan is going to rejoin us. He took a little hiatus there, but we're going to bring him back in. Talk about this transfer portal class. Get his thoughts on who's already committed to Mississippi State and maybe some ideas of what state needs to bring in from that point. But we're going to have to do some virtual learning today for Carlo Barone. Because we got to go to school this week a couple of times. We're going to do the wide receivers today. Tomorrow we'll do tight ends and offensive line. And Mr. Barone will just be responsible for the source material. And we will quiz him when he returns to action. But he is responsible for, you know, this virtual lesson today. So I tweeted about this earlier. Mississippi State's got to be the only school in the country whose all-time leading receiver is a running back. It's incredible. Here's the thing. That record has a chance to stand for a long, long time. All-time leading receiver in school history is Woody Marks. 214 catches. He's 25 catches ahead of the next guy who is on this list. And that's just insane. It's just absolutely crazy that that's the case. 214 catches means you got to average 55 catches a season to get ahead of him. It's going to be tough. It's going to be very tough, in my opinion. It's just one of those things, I guess. Let's do our honorable mentions. We got a few of them. First off, as I mentioned yesterday, if you were listening on the rumblings, somebody asked me about Josh Robinson and the running backs. I said, I really don't like to put guys in that just had one great season. So there's two big ones right off the bat that we're going to have to take out, and that's Brennan Thompson and Mekhi Polk. Polk, of course, led the SEC in receptions his 1 year in Starkville. Last year, Thompson led the league in receiving yards in his 1 year in Starkville. Great players, great Bulldogs, but I can't put them – I'm trying to get guys who had great careers at Mississippi State, not just one great season out there. So those guys, we're going to put them as honorable mentions, along with some other guys. And I don't want to hear anything from this guy, all right? He got mad at me when I seated him eighth in the all-time Bulldog bracket a few years back. I know he's listening, but Chad Bumpus, you're an honorable mention. You're an honorable mention. You know, you're not in the top tier here. You're look, great player, good guy too, good friend of mine. But I don't have him in the top three. Not in the top three. I mean, he legitimately might be fourth. Legitimately might be fourth, but we're not going to put him in the top three. Also going to put Darrenia Wilson, God rest his soul, on this list as an honorable mention. Great player for Mississippi State. If he had come back for his senior year, I really do think he'd still be with us right now. I mean, that's the people who were advising him. I wish I could have talked to the kid at the time. Just been like, man, you know, you don't know me, but let me try to help you, because he got terrible advice and now he's gone. And that's a really bitter pill to swallow for a guy that everybody said was a really good person. But a fantastic receiver at Mississippi State. 10th all-time in receptions. Bumpus, well, let's go over this real quick. Bumpus all-time, fourth in receptions, second in yards, and first in touchdowns. Did I make a mistake? When I look at it like that, did I make a mistake? Let me think about it. Wilson all-time, 10th in receptions, 7th in yards, 2nd in touchdowns. I'll also put Justin Jenkins on the honorable mention list. Great player for Mississippi State. I'll put David Smith on the all-time list. You know, back when freshman couldn't play, 162 catches, though, 3rd all-time. He's 4th in receiving yards, but not in the top 10 in touchdowns. Well, when I look at Bumpus, people get mad about Bumpus too. There was a debate. I said that he was like an all-time great at Mississippi State, and somebody got really mad about it. They lived in Robbie's mentions for a while about it. Like, but numbers kind of bear it out. I'm not bumping anybody. I feel really good about my top three. Do I want Chad Bumpus in here? Do I go 4 wide? Yeah. He's got to be in. I'm overthinking this. I mean, he's top 5 in every category. He's got to be in there. So, yeah. All right. So, let's talk about Chad Bumpus then. Bumpus, you know, came to Mississippi State when he was, at a time where State had not had a lot of success passing the football under Sylvester Croom. We'll just be generous and leave it at that. You know, and was not going to go to Mississippi State with Sylvester Croom as the head coach. Was going to go to Florida. Wanted to play for Dan Mullen. Wanted to be the next Percy Harvin. Comes to Mississippi State. And, you know, from day one, was a outstanding player for the Bulldogs. And a guy that made big catches every year of his career. A guy that, you know, had a huge plays in the Egg Bowl. As a freshman, had the touchdown catch that kind of got State where they wanted to be. Led the SEC in receiving. Yeah, I'm really screwed this up. Led the SEC in receiving touchdowns as a senior. 159 catches, 2,270 yards, 24 touchdowns as a Bulldog. Also, you know, a good kick returner as well. And he was the first kind of modern receiver. You know, think about the gap between Justin Jenkins and Chad Bumpus. And, like, who are the receivers in there? Guys like Tony Burks and Coeric Riley, Lance Long. I'm trying to remember some of those guys. T. Millens, Will Prosser. You know, these were not elite talents. We're trying to be generous here. They were, you know, good players, but none of them were great, you know, talents. Like, Justin Jenkins was a great talent. Bumpus was kind of the first guy that you know, his recruitment signaled a new day for Mississippi State. Like, when he committed to Mississippi State, you were like, okay, Dan Mullen's gonna win here because he's gonna get players like that. And, you know, diehard Bulldog, always has been. Nobody, few among us, hate the Ole Miss Rebels more than Chad Bumpus does. So, obviously, his coaching career here at Mississippi State, I hated to see him go last year. I don't want to go too far down the road on that one, but a guy who is, you know, always been a great Bulldog. Yeah, I feel foolish now that I've thought about it. We'll definitely put Chad Bumpus on the list. I feel like, you know, you look at Bumpus's stats, Not Tyson Lee, Chris Rell for his quarterbacks his first 3 years. He finally plays with a great passing. And Tyler Russell was a great passing quarterback. And like immediately his numbers go up. 58 catches, 922 yards. I feel like if he could have played with Russell or a quarterback like that for 4 years, he'd have much bigger numbers. But we'll put Bumpus on the list. We're going four wide. Going four wide. It's okay. Gotta have some four. You gotta have some four wide sets, right? Gonna have some two back, four wide, three wide, two tight end. We want to be able to mix it up a little bit. Plus, honestly, even though Fred Ross played in the slot, and we'll go to Fred next. Not really. I mean, kind of a bigger receiver. Bump is more of a classic slot receiver guy. You can involve a little bit more in the run game, in the jet sweep, things like that. So yeah, Bumpus, we'll put him on the list. All right, for sure. Fred Ross is second. Your all-time leading receiver among receivers at Mississippi State for his career. Number two in receptions, 199. Number one in yards, 2,528. Number tied for second with touchdowns, 22 touchdowns all time. Had one of the finest seasons in Mississippi State history as a receiver prior to Mekhi Polk, who was the all-time leading receiver for a single season with 88 catches that year. 1,007 yards. He was state's first ever, I'm sorry, second ever 1,000-yard receiver. State has only had 4,000-yard receivers, and they have happened all three of them have happened since 2015. Fred Ross, the first one since 1978, the guy who's also on this list. Maybe his best game was that Arkansas game his senior year, or his junior year, 2015. Where he and where Dak Prescott threw for over 500 yards, and Fred Ross was just open over and over again in that. His best year was his junior year, 88 catches for 1,007 yards and five touchdowns. I'm sorry, that's Ross. And then, like Bumpus, led the SEC in touchdowns his senior year, 12 touchdown catches there. He had 72 catches for 917 yards. Got the obviously had the bonus of playing in 2015 with Dak when Dak was they were really doing a job on focusing on him on the passing game, making sure Dak Prescott threw the football. Dan Mullen was setting him up for success at the next level. I think he sometimes, we've talked about it before that he sometimes may have done that to the detriment of team success because what made State so good offensively in 2014 was the run threat from Dak Prescott, and he just didn't have that as much. In 2015, and you had a couple of backs who weren't as good as Josh Robinson, and so it made State a little one-dimensional at times. But Ross was a huge beneficiary of that. And then his senior year with Fitzgerald at quarterback, Fitzgerald again, not the best passing quarterback Mississippi State's ever had, but 72 catches, 917 yards, had the touchdown in the Egg Bowl. He had one catch in that game, but it's the game, it's the touchdown that puts State ahead for good and kind of breaks the game open on a fourth and I want to say fourth and five. Just ran a little crossing pattern, Kent got open, cut upfield, and off he went for a touchdown. Fred Ross is a guy that I was kind of surprised that he didn't have a little success in the pros. Not that I thought he would be a Randy Moss type or anything like that, but a guy who was a reliable target like that, I thought he might have a little bit more of a pro career than he actually did, but. An all-time great at Mississippi State, no question about that. So we'll put Fred Ross on there as one of our top guys. Might be surprised by this one. I went on the way back a little bit to go to Marty McDoyle, who led the SEC in receiving as a sophomore. 48 catches, 1,035 yards, 21.6 yards per catch, seven touchdowns. And then, this guy's an elite receiving talent. You're like, all right, this guy, let's build around him. Mississippi State brings in a wishbone coach. And so the next 2 years, he only has 39 combined catches, but averaged, for his career, 19 yards per reception, 13 catches. I mean, he had 20 catches and 19 catches as a junior and a sophomore or senior. And in a wishbone offense, that's like catching 50 or 60 passes. So, second round pick, played in the NFL, MSU Hall of Famer, as you might can imagine. Kind of funny looking at the this. I noticed this. So Thompson this year was the first Bulldog to lead the SEC in receiving yards since 1982. Danny Knight was that guy. But from 1972 to 1982, three Bulldogs at the SEC in receiving. Bill Buckley in 72, Marty McDoyle in 78 and Danny Knight in 1982. And prior to that, Sammy Milner had done it in 1968. So kind of interesting that State, so in a 14-year span, State had four different guys lead the SEC in receiving, and then they went 43 years, without another guy doing it. It just goes to show you that passing the football was not always at a premium here in Starkville. But McDoyle's an all-time Bulldog and a guy that, you know, if he had played in a more wide-open offense as a junior and senior, would probably be State's all-time leading receiver. You know, just got kind of meshed up there in the system, as it were. I had a guy argue with me, by the way. I got to tell you about this. Some Ole Miss fan. This is Friday Sports Talk Mississippi when I was by myself. We were talking about underrated players. And Will mentioned the Ole Miss tight end. I forget his name. I don't think he was talking about Haas. I think he was talking about somebody else. And I just made the comment. I was like, yeah, that Kiffin, Lebby, Weiss, and now Baker system. You know, it can really help the tight ends. You can have a lot of big productive tight ends. I'm giving compliments here. This is the thing that kills me with these Ole Miss fans sometimes. I'll give them compliments and it's not good enough. They're like, they gotta have constant stroking, basically. So this guy's like, what are you talking about? A system? This is Pete's system. It's like, Pete Golden coaches defense. Like, yeah, but he hired the coach, so it's his system. It's like, okay. So was that Lane's defense the last three seasons in Oxford? Is that what we're going to say? So, of course, he immediately moves the goalpost and says, like, Kiffin never won any important games. Why is he such a good coach? Which is not what I'm arguing. I'm not arguing that at all, although I have enjoyed him and Borky trying to convince me that Kiffin didn't win. Kiffin wasn't apparently worth a damn the whole time he was at Ole Miss. Who would have guessed? But he basically would not – he said that there's no such thing as a system. System is not a word that people use to describe play calling. It's like, it's about players and coaches. I was like, it was one of the strangest arguments I've ever been in. Basically told me I need to read more, that it was embarrassing that I was saying this. Like, y'all let me know on Twitter if I am wrong. But I'm pretty sure that people have been calling things systems. You have the, like, this is Kiffin's and Lebby's offense is an offshoot of the Briles system. Kiffin does some things differently than Lebby does. Weiss will do some things differently than both of them. I assume Baker at Ole Miss this year will do things differently. Baker was quoted as saying he's keeping 80% of the offense, like 20% he just wants to tweak. But it's not a system. So I had to get that out of my system. So I appreciate you guys letting me vent there. So who we got? We got Bumpus. We've got Fred Ross. We've got Marty McDoyle. You guys probably could guess the one I was leaving out is Eric Moulds. Moulds is, in my opinion, the greatest receiver in Mississippi State history. The pro career is certainly a part of that. Yeah, I think in some ways, it's a two thing can be true at the same time. Like, Moulds didn't have the number of catches that some of these guys had, but he showed when he got to the NFL and they were throwing the ball what kind of player he was. He was a Pro Bowler there. At Mississippi State, three seasons for Eric Moulds. I could be wrong about this. If I am wrong, please let me know. I think you guys remember what Prop 48 was, where you could take guys who were academically ineligible and they lost the year of eligibility. You could sign them and they basically redshirted without getting eligible, but they also lost the year of eligibility. Why players would do this, I don't know, but that used to be a thing. I think Moulds was a Prop 48. I could be wrong. But 118 catches, 2,022 yards, averaged 17.1 yards per catch, led the SEC in yards per reception as a second-year player, 21.7 per catch. Only seven touchdowns. Again, played with a quarterback, you know, in Derek Tate the last 2 years. That just good passer, but not an elite passer by any stretch of the imagination. I do shudder to think, what would that offensive look like with Eric Moulds on one side and Keyshawn Johnson on the other? Because as we've famously talked about, Keyshawn Johnson signed with Mississippi State out of high school, ends up going to junior college, and then ends up going to USC. But Tate might have been the first pick in the draft because he would have had Moulds on one side and Keyshawn Johnson on the other. They're going to be open. That's a great butterfly effect for the career of Derek Tate for that. But for me, you know, in terms of just overall talent, I never saw anybody like Moulds. The vertical leap, we've all seen the pictures of him in the Alabama game where his waist is above that guy's helmet. But also the incredible speed, athleticism, just an unbelievable football player. A guy that, you know, probably a little ahead of his time. If he had played in a more, you know, pass happy kind of offense, would have been an unstoppable force. So Moulds, McDoyle, Ross, Bumpus. Bumpus deserves to be on there. So we'll go four. Do we have too many players? Am I doing the thing that I hate that the SEC does? So like when they do basketball, it's like, here's the first team all SEC basketball team, and it's got 12 guys on it. Yes, I am doing that. I am doing that. But we're going to fill out the roster a little bit. We'll only do five offensive linemen. I promise. And we'll do one tight end. But let me know what you think. You know where to hit me up on Twitter. And we'll you know, those are our four guys. And so Mr. Barone will be responsible for this material, and we'll see if he we'll give him a little pop quiz when he returns next week. He'll be back next week. All right, let's get ready to talk to Brooks Bryan. Let's move into that. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District. Headed to Two Brothers today for lunch for Wing Wednesday. Guess what I'm going to get to eat? Wings. I'm excited. If you want to enjoy a fantastic meal, Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the Older Brother right there in the Cotton District, right next door to each other. And it's just a question of what do you want to eat? Do you want to, you know, have that awesome burger and fries at the Older Brother, or maybe the croque monsieur, my personal favorite, or they have a fantastic shrimp po' boy, a fantastic Philly cheesesteak. Those are great options. If you want to go talking about dinner, we're gonna spin it up a little bit. They got steaks and pasta and an awesome pork chop dish there at the Older Brother. So those are your options there. But there's the other side of that coin at Two Brothers: wings, tacos, pulled pork sandwiches, pork rind nachos. They've got it all at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. You can't go wrong with either choice. Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the Older Brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for over 50 years. I heard a whisper in the air there. 50. I don't know what it was. If you're looking for business technology, call Advantage Business Systems today. You can get a new copier, a new printer, new laptops or computers, whatever it is. But you make that call, you make that purchase, and you have the guarantee, the security after the sale. That's what you want to have. You get it with Advantage Business Systems. You know that if something goes wrong, you're going to call them. They're going to take care of it a lot of times the same day because they're in Mississippi just like you. 601-362-9192 or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Maroon & Co. is the place to go if you're looking for great Mississippi State gear here in the state of in the city of Starkville. No better place than Maroon & Co. The Golden Triangle's biggest, best, widest, most unique selection. Hats, t-shirts, polos, pullovers, hoodies, shoes, whatever it is, maroon and white, cowbells, they've got it all at Maroon & Co. Use our promo code THUNDER15. You'll save 15% off the regular price. Some exclusions do apply. Before you go to your next game here in Starkville, which will be Labor Day weekend, you need to go to Maroon & Co. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. That is the place for manly men. That's a place where dads, fathers, uncles, brothers, we all meet there and we have a great time talking about our yards, talking about tools, talking about grilling, talking about hunting and fishing. It's a paradise. And you need to go shop there because whatever it is you're looking for to do around the house this weekend, Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden has a product for you. An incredible selection of power tools, great selection of grills, a wide variety of rifles, shotguns, rods and reels for the outdoorsman. But most importantly, the biggest and best assortment of John Deere Green in North Mississippi. Great deals are available on John Deere compact tractors right now. Go see my friends at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo, where they have what you want or less. Good Hope Land and Timber. Guys, if you are a landowner in the state of Mississippi and you're thinking right now, like, I got all this land, I got all this timber, what do I do? How do I manage my land effectively, sustainably? How do I get the most out of my resources? That's where Good Hope Land and Timber is here to help you with a simple phone call. And if you're trying to buy or sell land, make that phone call as well, because they can absolutely help you with that purchase. They are locally trusted and landowner approved. Good Hope Land and Timber, 601-442-9888, or visit them online, g-hope.com. All right, let's go talk to Brooks Bryan. bring him on. Let's look at this transfer portal class. I think it's a pretty good class. I think there's still some work to be done, and Brian O'Connor and crew will have to get on that. So let's go right now to my conversation with Brooks Bryan. Brooks Bryan back with us here. I want to talk some baseball transfer portal. And Brooks, I was telling you before we went on here, I didn't realize that we were going to get a fresh one in the boat here to talk about, but a big pickup for Mississippi State in this I guess it's Wednesday as we're listening, as Oregon catcher Burke Lee Mabius has committed to Mississippi State. This is a guy that everything I'm reading about him, Brooks, an elite defensive catcher, a guy who you can trust behind the plate to throw runners out, a guy who has a knack for pitch framing. And when you've got what appears to be an outstanding staff on paper, stealing a few extra strikes certainly isn't going to hurt anybody. This looks like a really big pickup for the Bulldogs.
Yeah, I agree, man. It's somebody that definitely can help defensively. It makes me wonder, you know, kind of what's the status with Lou? Mm-hmm. You know, is he expected to go in the draft and sign? Because I don't see this catcher coming to us if Lou's planning to come back for some reason. Right. So I don't know, but I do know that it's definitely a big pickup defensive wise. As you said, really good at receiving the ball and throwing runners out. And then his offensive side of the numbers were, I think, like 275 with 8 or 9 home runs. So I can definitely see him being in the lineup, an everyday guy.
Yeah, 100%. I think with Maluski now, we'll have to see what the draft brings his way. But that's a guy that, you know, I don't know if a position change could work. Would he be willing to just DH? I've seen some message board talk about, but he could go to first base. And all I can think about is Moneyball and that conversation with Scott Hatterberg, where it's like, it's not hard. Tell him it's incredibly hard. Yeah. I keep seeing that in my head. Like, I don't know if we want to go through that, especially when you had Stallman last year, who was so good for you defensively early on. You know, there's still a ways to go in this portal. I think State's still got some pickups to make here and there. But what do you think about this class at this point in it?
Yeah, I really like what we've done offensively, especially. I think we've got eight position players and 3 pitchers so far, I think. And offensively, we're surrounding Parker with some guys around him that can help protect him. And we're a lot more athletic from what I can tell also. I really like that part of it. So I think, you know, overall, I think we'll still – we're at 8 total now. I think we get to 11 or 12. I think we go with probably 2 more pitchers and maybe 1 position player, or 3 more pitchers and another position player, I think is what we'll do.
Yeah, I feel like they definitely need to pick up a few more arms. And then is it just the best available guy for you at this point as far as position players go, or is there a spot where you'd like to see State go out and grab, you know, a first baseman, a third baseman, whatever?
Yeah, first is what I was thinking about, but with the I don't know how he pronounces it.
Grawley, I think is it.
Yeah. Right.
I think it's Graw.
Okay.
Yeah.
With him, I'm thinking, you know, he may be the third baseman. And if so, that would move over Beek to first. So I would think first baseman, if you can get one, if there's a good one to get, if there's not one, then I think you go best available. And I think that they would probably go more on the athletic side, whatever that is, somebody that might can play several different type of positions. And then, like you said, I think we still go 2 or 3 more pitchers, mid relief, closer type guys. I just don't think you're going to get any starters to come just because of what we've got returning.
Yeah. That's gotta be a difficult sell right now. Like pitchers come into the portal, they're looking for starting opportunities, and they see Mississippi State with all 3 starters back, and all 3 starters are elite guys, or at least, you know, I don't know if Duke Stone would fall in the elite category, but he's really, really good. His first year as a starter, it's just not those opportunities available. And then you have to assume that Bauer is going to want to have a chance at it. Maybe Maddox Miller is going to want to have a chance at it. I like what you said earlier about protecting Parker, because I feel like that had to be the number one idea. You had to get some power into this lineup. And then you went out and you got Brady Christman, Jake Souders, Josiah Overbeek, Nolan Graw. These are all guys with double-digit home runs at their previous stop. Mississippi State set a school record for home runs last year, but right now, the way that it looks, it feels as if they have a chance to challenge that again with these guys.
Yeah, I agree. And most of these guys are young guys too, you know, 2 of them are freshmen. So you're going to have multiple years with them, just like you are with Parker. And man, that just bodes so well for the lineup to be able to have them for multiple years and not just depend on them for 1 year.
Yeah, that's what I was. It's interesting to think, you know, in the portal world, we think about, you know, constructing a lineup year to year, and you never know who's going to be back. But there's a great opportunity here for Mississippi State that the guys who maybe bat 2, 3, 4 this year, you know, Parker, Chrisman, and Overbeek also bat 2, 3, 4 for you in 2028, and that's how you win championships, is you bring back players of that caliber year after year. From a pitching perspective, as you mentioned, you know, difficult to get elite guys here, but I think that Russell from South Carolina, a proven SEC strike thrower, a guy who has gotten people out in this conference. Jackson Scheinflew, a lefty arm. They need some more of those, is another guy who's had some success. And then Carson Fair, if nothing else, his comments after he committed, he wants the ball in those late innings. We'll see how that all pans out for him. But I think it's also fair, Brooks, to expect those three freshmen that I mentioned, Bauer, Miller, and Gleason, they should all take a big step forward this year as well, shouldn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Bauer, I think he's going to compete for that closer role if he finds what he needs to in the Cape, and then this fall when he comes back, to be able to get a fastball that moves a little bit instead of it got hit a little bit last year. Just I think it flattens out, but I think maybe to get a little bit more extension on his delivery, and then like you said, I think Maddox Miller fits right in there real well with a middle relief guy or maybe even a Tuesday starter if they look at it that way. And if he is the Tuesday starter, that can kind of put him in a middle relief role come Saturday and Saturday, possibly even Friday too. So I think the Scheinflew kid, he's the lefty. I think he takes the Dane Burns role. I think that's what fills that. And I think the Zach Russell kind of feels
Ben Davis.
Lost my. What's that?
Ben Davis.
Yeah, Ben Davis's role. Yep, I think he takes Ben Davis's role, and then Fair. I think he's a Maddox Webb type guy, and if he can close, awesome. But if he can't, I think Bauer. Or if you have two closers, you could have Fair and Bauer for the three games on the weekend. So I think that's looking really good, but I still think that we add two or three more arms in that middle relief to late inning relief role.
If Russell's going to take that Ben Davis role, Brooks, I certainly hope he can pitch more than 9 outs. That's all we really need in that scenario.
Or more than 6 outs,
Yeah, more than 6 outs. Yeah,
yeah.
that's
You
what it
go
is.
into that third inning, it was
You
trouble sometimes for
start getting
them.
dicey.
Yeah.
So that being said, does State need to pick up another left-hander in this situation, do you think? Or is just, you know, you have Scheinflew. You know, you have Bauer. I guess they're good on lefties. You have Miller. Do you want another one, or do we need to look at power right-handed arms? Where does that need to go?
If it's going to be three of them, I would like to see two righties and a lefty. I would still like to see another lefty come in there because, we lost Charlie Foster. So if you lose Charlie and you lose Burns and you pick up Scheinflew, I would still like to see one more lefty.
What did you think about Foster going to Ole Miss? This feels like if they can make it, look, I feel like there's something in there. If they can get it out, he could be a problem. But if they can't, they're wasting their time.
Yeah, talent wise, we've discussed this before. He's got it. He's got first round talent with the pitches he has. It's just to me, a lot of it is in between the ears. I heard Jay talk about that it was a lot. It was hard for him to repeat his motion sometimes, and that made it a little more difficult to throw strikes and be consistent. But I think he definitely has it, the talent. And if you think back, probably his best game of the year was against Ole
It was
Miss
against Ole Miss, yeah.
on. So I'm sure they saw his best, and with Mangrum, he's one of the better pitching coaches in the country too, just like we have with Parker. So, I think that if I'm them, I would definitely have taken him just to try it, and if they can get something out of him, then they definitely hit on something.
Just looking at this roster, where it is right this second, just knowing what we know about it. Do you feel better about this roster that State has right now than the one they had a season ago?
I do, just from the standpoint of athleticism, standpoint of proven, hitting as far as, the three guys we've got coming in to kind of surround Parker. Even though they're young guys, they still perform really well where they're coming from. And And then pitching wise, man, to know that you've got all three of your starters coming back on the weekend. And that was one thing I wanted to make sure I brought up was we're not, we're kind of like, hey, we're not getting the big name starters out of the portal. And I'm totally fine with that because I don't think any of the big time starters in the portal are any better than our starting three. So
No,
I
no,
would
no,
much
for
rather have
sure.
our three coming back than, have one or two spots in the SEC rotation to try to replace, to be looking for those guys.
Jacob Parker, I love asking about him just because I'm just intrigued by this kid. He just, I knew he was going to be good. I didn't think he was going to be as good as he is. And now I think Mississippi State goes into next season with the potential SEC pitcher and player of the year on its roster. What is a fair expectation for Parker next year? If I say I expect him to be 350, 25 home runs, and 70 RBI, am I being unfair to him?
I think those are pretty lofty expectations. I would probably put it, man, I would be very happy with 325, 330, and 20 plus home runs. And and that's not far off of what you're saying, but I think teams are going to pitch around him a little bit more. This year they pitched around Ace more than they did Parker. So early on, he kind of got better pitches to hit. But as the season went on, obviously he developed and they pitched around him a little bit. But man, if he hits 330 with 20 plus home runs as a true sophomore this next year, I think Mississippi State will be set up really well as far as when it comes regional and super regional time.
And the thing to remember with Parker is he had 18 home runs. He didn't really become an everyday starter until, almost like the Ole Miss weekend is when he really got into the lineup and never came out from it from that point on. So, there's a lot. I think there's still some juice left in the squeeze for Jacob Parker. And I could see him. I mean, I could see him taking a big step too. I mean, first year and this is what he does. There's nothing to say that in his next year he's not way better. I really do feel like that the ceiling is higher for him than anybody I can remember in recent memory.
Yeah, and I would say, let me add to that. I would say
Yeah.
that I definitely think he's going to make a step forward for sure. But just, kind of keeping and make sure the fans keep in the back of their mind that the more at bats that other teams see, the more they'll be prepared to pitch against him next year. As far as trying to find, where is his holes in his swing? Because everybody has them. Everybody has, there's nine different zones to hit, whether it's up and away, up down the middle, up and in, and then you kind of go down from there. But there's nine different zones. Every hitter, even in the big leagues, have two or three zones where they struggle, and that's where teams try to go at them. So he's going to make a big step forward, but other teams are going to be a lot more prepared to face him also.
When we think about this team, people have asked me, like, what is, the expectation? They were trying to get me, we talked about our grades for this season. And people asked me about next year. Like, well, what happens next year if you don't go to Omaha? I think year two, it's fair to put, I know how tough it is to get to the College World Series. I understand that part. But I feel like it's a fair expectation with what they're bringing back, with what they're bringing in, with O'Connor having a second year of everything. I feel like next year, if they aren't in Omaha at the end, I'm gonna label that season a disappointment. Am I being hard on Mississippi State if I do that?
I think it depends, if we stay healthy, and you don't get there, the expectation is to get there. Just and it was this year, but you just run into a buzzsaw at Georgia. Plus, you ran into, you were hoping that Stone would be one of your bullpen pitchers, and he ends up being your Saturday starter because you lose McPherson. Then you had Charlie was not able to do what we thought that he would do, and then you had William Kirk in the bullpen. So you had three or four guys that you thought you were going to count on that were either injured or just didn't produce what we thought that they would. But yeah, I think next year, and I think every year moving forward with O'Connor is going to be the expectation is always host a regional top 16, and then host a super regional 2 out of 5, 3 out of 5 years, and then your expectation for me is 2 out of 5, 3 out of 5 go to Omaha.
Yeah, that's
And
fair.
because yeah, those you make the final eight, that's to me, that's like the elite eight in basketball. So that's putting a lot of high expectations, but that's what it should be at Mississippi State.
It's so funny with basketball and baseball. Like, if you go to the Sweet 16 in basketball, it doesn't matter who you are. You're like, hey, great, hang a banner. We had a good season. But in baseball, like this year with Mississippi State, they were in the Sweet 16. They were in the Super Regional round. But there are people who are like, ah, it was a disappointing end of the season. It's funny how those two sports are looked at a little differently. Brooks, man, appreciate you coming on, and we'll get you back on real soon.
All right, bud. Appreciate it, Brian.
Thanks to Brooks for joining us. Appreciate his time. I can take the headset off now that he's gone. And yeah. All right, tomorrow's show, another summer school, more virtual learning for Mr. Barone. We'll talk about the offensive line and the tight end position. Plus, maybe we'll go a little deeper into some of this transfer portal stuff. Who knows? Maybe somebody else will have jumped in the boat between now and then. Plus, I want to talk a little recruiting. We've already talked about it, but it's reaching a level of, what's the word I want to look for? Of disappointment, shall we say, that I feel like we need to address it just a little bit. So we'll do that on tomorrow's pod. Guys, have a great Thursday. I'll be back with you on Friday for my buddy Carlo Barone and for Brooks Bryan. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.